So let's go to the word of the Lord in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 12. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, he left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. In other words, he was going through full fasting, and at the end of them, he was hangry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." Verse 5, the devil led him to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all this, all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to." Verse 7, "If you worship me, it will all be yours." Verse 8, Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "You are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here." Verse 10, "For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Verse 12, Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Praise the Lord for the reading of his word. You know, the last 30 seconds of that video, you see all those rocks, mountains of rocks, and that's brown. That's actually a portion of the Judean desert. The Judean desert in that video, that's a wilderness. But history tells us that we could expect something good to come out of the wilderness. Amen? In the Old Testament, the wilderness is God's meeting place. God used the wilderness to meet some people. This is where he meets his messengers, his prophets. In Exodus chapter 3, God met up with Moses through a burning bush in that place. God uses the wilderness as a place of appointment. 40 days is also a significant number of days in the Bible, because Moses was in Mount Sinai for 40 days. Elijah was also in the wilderness for 40 days in Mount Horeb. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days, as we just read. Amen? And he was there. He was led there by the Holy Spirit. But Jesus used that place as a place of prayer and a place of communion with the Father. Praise God. In Luke chapter 55, verse 16. But the devil was after Jesus. You know, when you're alone and when God is doing something in your life, the devil wants to follow you. He doesn't want to break away from you. He wants to follow you, and he loves following you. Amen? So he followed Jesus in the wilderness, and each day of that 40 day was a power showdown between Jesus and the devil. And every day for 40 days, every single day of that 40 days, the devil haunted Jesus with his persuasive words, appealing to Jesus' appetite. "If you are the Son of God, why don't you tell this stone to become bread?" Every day he comes to Jesus appealing for appetite of authority, power, and fame. "If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, I can give you all of this. Fame, power, authority, even Jerusalem, I'll give you. I'll give you everything." Appetite for invincibility, for protection, and for security, as if Jesus needs any of them. As a man, Jesus had a choice. Do you know that as a man, Jesus had a choice? Jesus had a choice to give in, and the devil must have known that. And so he used this temptation to lure Jesus to doubt his identity. "If you are the Son of God." You know that word "if"? You be careful with that word "if." That word "if" could be used in any other way, in many different ways. "If you are the Son of God," as if he's trying to tell Jesus, "Are you really sure that you are the Son of God?" As if he's telling us, "Are you really sure you're a born-again believer? Are you really sure you're going to heaven? Are you really sure you're anointed of God? Are you really sure that God is going to answer your prayer? Are you really sure?" And Jesus has no problem with that, because Jesus knew why he came to earth. And that's a very powerful thing for each and every one of us to know why we exist on earth. Why do we exist? Why do you exist? Why are you here? What is the purpose? life? Do you know who you are? Do you know what you've got? Amen? And so in 1 John chapter 4, verse 14, Jesus said, the scripture said, he was sent by the Father to be the Savior of the world. There is no doubt about that. So if there's anyone here who's still thinking and asking, who would save me from this pit? Who will save me from these issues of my life? Who will save me from this crooked way of living? That Jesus said in the Word of God in 1 John chapter 4, verse 14, John wrote that Jesus was sent by the Father. He did not come on his own initiative. He was sent by the Father to do one thing, and that is to be the Savior of the world. But the Bible is very clear. The Word of God is very clear. Jesus is the only Savior of the world. But everyone can be saved, regardless of who they are, regardless of where they're from, regardless of what they believe. If they believe in Jesus, then they can be saved too. Jesus knew that his mission is to complete and to finish the redemption plan of God for the whole world. Not only that, Jesus knew that he was sent by the Father to introduce the love of the Father that no man knows during that time. Because during that time, there's only politics, there's only hatred. Nobody knows what true love is. The Bible said in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God, it is God who actually demonstrates his own love towards us. Do we deserve it? No, we don't deserve it. But God initiates the relationship. Amen? He has to demonstrate this. Church, you need to understand, God demonstrates this. If we are a people of the Lord, we must demonstrate it too. Amen? God, because God demonstrated it to us. So we should know how to love the way God loves, because he already showed it to us how to do it. When we go to heaven, we're going to say, God, I didn't know how to love. Yes, you should and you must, because I have demonstrated it to you. You got to die to yourself. Amen? He said here, demonstrated to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ. No one died for us. No one died for me. And no one will. And same to you. But Christ died for us. Amen. How powerful is that? How liberating it is that someone died for you, my friend. Someone died for you, my beloved. Jesus died for you. You have to understand, get a revelation of how much God loves you. You know what? He also demonstrates the justice system of God. The just nature of our God. Yes, God is love, but he is also just. God is love, but God is also holy. Sometimes we only love the part that God is love. But we don't, we forget, we try to forget that God is also just. That he called us into a relationship of being like him, of becoming like him in holiness. Because God is holy. Amen? God is holy. God is holy. God is holy. Well, what the devil wanted, and this time, in this part of the scripture, what the devil wanted is to sabotage the redemption plan of God. Because in the Old Testament, justice must be served by the judge. The guilty must be condemned unless the guilty is acquitted and is declared righteous or innocent. And there are two ways that a person could be made righteous or could be made innocent. The Bible said that we all have sinned and we all have fallen short of God's glory. In conclusion, we all are not innocent. Yes? One is by proving that the accused was innocent and have not done anything. Therefore, he has fulfilled the law and he has not violated anything. The other one is just as important, because the accused could have violated the law and still be deemed righteous once the prescribed penalty has been paid to acquit the accused, or a ransom is paid. A ransom is paid to purchase the freedom of the accused. In other words, the accused is still guilty, is still in the wrong. He still did something, but because of the ransom price that's been paid to purchase the freedom of the accused, therefore, the accused is no longer guilty because the requirement of the law has been fulfilled. Does it make sense, church? In this instance, since the penalty for the sin of the violation has been settled, the requirement of the law had been fulfilled. Church, I need you to understand that through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the cross, and the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the justice of God has been served. Amen. And that's why we must love the Lord Jesus Christ. We must love Him. We must run to Him. Because in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6, Paul said to Timothy, Christ is our ransom. Christ is the one who paid the price. He is our ransom. That's why we can walk free. Amen? We can walk free with no judgment on our head. We can look up in the sky. We can meet up the Lord in these 21 days of fasting. We can approach God with boldness and with confidence, with no objection, no barrier, because we are free to approach the throne of God's grace because of the ransom that Christ has paid for us. And the devil knows that. And the devil knows that. The devil knows that. He doesn't want you to be secure. And he will cast a shadow of doubt in who you are. And he will do it every day. If you look at the scripture, he was there for 40 days and he was tempted by the devil. So how often the devil will come to you? He will come to you every single day. Every single day. Have you noticed that? He comes every single day. Amen? He comes every single day. But he will do it constantly until you do something about it. Because that's what Jesus did. He did something about it. He told the devil, back off! Get behind me! Get away from me! Back off! We did the same thing. We have to tell him what God has told you. Amen? Because that's what Jesus said. In verse 4, Jesus answered, it is what? It is what? It is what? It is written. It is written. You have to understand that during that time, there was no New Testament. The New Testament is being written by the Holy Spirit during the time to appoint those people who's going to do it. But the Old Testament, the Torah, has already been written. So he is referring to the Old Testament. He said, it is written. See, even Jesus has to refer to what has already been written. Because what has been written by the Holy Spirit to the men of God is actually life. It is life. It is life. The word of God is life. Amen? The word of the Lord is life. So he said, man shall not bread on bread alone. What is he saying? He's actually quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. That's where he got it from. He did not invent that. You know what, church? We don't have to invent the answer. When we are in the next 21 days that we are fasting and we're praying, there will be times that we'll be tempted to quit, to stop, not to continue anymore. And for those of you, that whether you're fasting or you're not, the same is the case. But let's follow the example of Jesus in this encounter. What did he say? He was quoting the word of the Lord. You know what? You just have to tell the devil the word of God. Amen. What did God tell us? What did God told you about? What did he say? You have an issue with your family? What did God tell you about it? And didn't he say, I will be with you. I will be with you when you walk through the waters. I'll be with you when you walk through the fire. I'll be with you. You may be on fire at the moment in your relationship with your family, but hey, I am there right in the midst of your fire. I will walk with you. And you have to stand on that. Amen. I know that you know this already. In verse 6, he said, I'll give you everything. I'll give you this. I'll give you all authority and splendor that I have. But you got to worship me. Jesus answered it. It is written. It is written. What is written? What is written? In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. What is written? It is written that you worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. This is the word of the Lord for us this morning. Worship the Lord your God and worship Him only. So if you are worshiping other God than God, then you must come back. Because the word of the Lord is telling us that you must worship Him only. The devil might have lure you to worship other things. To worship your gadgets, to worship your computer, your internet, your credit card, your job, whatever it is that you are worshiping right now that is more than your worship of the Lord. God is telling us today, let us all come back to the heart of worship. Let us all come back to God. Let us all worship the Lord our God. Because worship is to God alone. Is it clear, church? Worship is to God alone. Worship is to, and even if, even service is to God alone. You must serve the Lord with everything you've got. Amen. The devil said in verse 9, if you are the Son of God. I feel like the devil is saying to us, if you are a child of God, you should live perfect life. You should not commit any mistake. Hang on. In our weaknesses, the Bible says, the grace of God is sufficient. We live by the grace of the Lord. The grace of God. The grace of God. He said here, if you're to throw yourself, you know, throw yourself. Because the Lord will pick you up. Sometimes we're like that, which we dare to do it. We throw ourselves into the pit, even though we know it's a pit already. Because our mindset is this, oh, the Lord will save me anyway. The Lord will forgive me anyway. Well, God is not mucking around. He's very serious with our relationship with Him. God is serious in this holiness thing, you know? God is serious in this holiness thing. We cannot muck around in our walk with the Lord. It is a serious, God takes it so seriously. That's why He said to the devil, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. I love what Smith Wigglesworth said. Some live by what they see. Some live by what they hear. I don't live by what I see. I live by what I hear. And not only what I hear, what I believe comes from the Word of God. So base your life not what your friends told you, not what you heard from other people, not what you feel in your just emotional feelings. Base yourself on the Word of God. Not what you hear in the news, but what you hear the Spirit is saying. This, in the next 21 days, what we prepared, prayer requests, prayer focus for all of us. And you will see those prayer requests. Those are requests. Those are the cry of our heart. Because we want to hear the Spirit, what the Spirit is saying. What is the Lord saying to you? We want you to hear the voice of God. We want you to hear what the Lord is saying. Hear what the Spirit is saying. So I charge you, brethren, all of you who committed to fast for the next 21 days, I ask you to hear what the Spirit is saying to you at this hour, at this moment, at this stage of your life, at this season of your life. And I say the same to those who will support us in prayer. That God, through the Holy Spirit, can turn your life from chaos. Your life may be in chaos right now, but the Spirit of God can turn, can bring back order in your life. I'd like to tell somebody today, you may be in bondage of some things that's crippling you. You may be in bondage in addiction. You may be in bondage of whatever it is. I'd like to tell somebody today, Jesus already paid the price. You can be freed from that. You can be free. I'd like to tell somebody today, you may be confused. You don't understand the salvation thing. You don't even understand what's happening in your life. But I'd like to tell somebody today, that the Lord with Christ, you can restore. You can have peace in your life. He can turn your life around. He can turn your hopelessness into full of hope. Amen? Because God is your hope, and that hope is given to us by the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen? If you open your Bible in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 5, actually in verse 3, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth. Amen? New birth. Church, we are recipient of new birth. Amen? We have new birth. In the spirit realm, in the spirit, we are new in Christ. We have been birthed in the Spirit of God through the ransom of Christ Jesus. That is our hope. And He said, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Praise the Lord, because our God is alive. Our God has risen from the grave. Our God has risen from the grave. Our God has risen from the deadness. come, and suddenly her hope for healing comes to life. I'd like to challenge somebody today. Are you drifting? Are you about to drift from your hope? Don't let loose of your hope. Keep your hope alive, because our hope is anchored in the living God. Our hope is living. It is alive. Amen. It will not perish. It will not spoil. It will not fade until the Lord Jesus Christ is reigning, and he will reign forever and ever and ever. Amen. The devil wants to lure you to cut short or to take a shortcut. He said, if you are the Son of God, why don't you just turn this bread into the stone into bread? It's easy rather than you cooking. There is no place to cook here. There's no food here. In other words, his challenge is just take a shortcut. But you know what, church? Shortcut is not always the best cut. When it comes to your spiritual matters, there is no shortcut. There is no shortcut when it comes to spiritual matters. The devil is a good strategist. He knows when and where and how to attack you. And yes, he can attack you even in the crowd like this. Peter denied Jesus in the midst of the crowd. But in most cases, he attacks us in places where you think you are safe and nobody knows your secrets. Be careful. Be careful. David thought that his secret was safe within the confines of his palace's room. But in this story, we see that Jesus was also alone, and he was very hungry in the desert where there is no food. The devil is a roaring lion. Amen. He's a roaring lion. Don't be too comfortable. Don't be too proud that I can manage. I got it. Well, if that is the case, then why would God give us warning? Right? Why would he give us warning if that is the case? Have you ever thought of that? In other words, we got to be vigilant. Amen? And we got to be vigilant. We got to be vigilant. But here is God's commitment to those who believe in Jesus as the Son of God. We have this wonderful assurance. Don't panic. Do not worry. Do not tremble in fear, because we have this wonderful assurance in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, praise the Lord, Jesus, the Son of God, hallelujah, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, praise the Lord. Are we holding on to our faith? This is the encouragement of the Word of God. We must hold on firmly. We know what firm is? Firm is like this. No matter what happened, you're not going to let go because it's firm. Yes? Yes? Don't let go. Do not let go. Do not let go. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Amen? But we have one. This is what we have. This is the kind of high priest that we have. He has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Amen? How comforting it is that even Jesus has been tempted just the same as we are. Amen? Yet he did not sin. So it is possible. It is possible to get away with it through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the help of the Holy Spirit. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace. Hallelujah. Find grace. Hallelujah. We need grace. We need grace. We need grace to help us in our time of need. I don't know about you, but I have so many needs. Do you have needs? Hallelujah. We can approach the throne of God's grace, and there we will find the grace of God to help us in our time of need. I'd like to tell you today that you are not alone. Amen. You're not alone. You're not alone in every trials and every temptations that you have. Just like Jesus. Jesus was never alone in the wilderness because the Holy Spirit was with him. Hallelujah. Is the Holy Spirit with you? Come on, I'd like to know. Do you understand that the Holy Spirit is with you? So you don't be afraid. You are not alone. You think that you cannot solve your problem. You think that you cannot solve your issues at home or at work, at school, wherever it is. Hey, wake up. You get a helper with you. Why don't you ask him to help you? You're already drowning in your issues and issues of life. Why don't you ask him? We heard Jeremiah 33 verse 3. If you call unto me, I will answer you. Have you ever called? Have you ever called him? Not in a mocking way, just like the devil said to Jesus. If you are the Son of God, 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 throw yourself down here. No, you are wiser than that, because you have the wisdom of the Holy One. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but you don't do things out of presumption. Do not be presumptuous. We have to do things by the Spirit of the Lord, by faith, by the Word of God, being firm on what we know God has told us about us. Amen. Amen. The devil will always lie to you, but you don't have to believe his lies, because his lies has already been dealt with. The ransom has already been paid. In times of temptation, my dear brothers and sisters, I don't know, but I just feel in my heart that I have to tell you this. In times of temptation, there is always temptation. I don't know. Are you guys being tempted? Be encouraged. God does not abandon you in times of temptation. In fact, in times of your most severe temptation, that's where God is very, very powerfully working in you. You just have to ask him. I feel like the Holy Spirit is this. You're here, and you say, oh, God, you're crying so much with your issues, and the Holy Spirit is standing here right to you. Hey, I'm here. I even got to ask for my help. I even got to ask for my help. But in most times, we just stand there and we try to drown ourselves into the issue. But in fact, all you got to do is, Holy Spirit, come! And I welcome you, Lord, in this space. God, take me out of this. Or help me, O Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The next 21 days is a battle for all of us. I have only taken water this morning. I had a little few strawberries. But you know what? Every time I go on Daniel Fund, it is a huge struggle for me physically. I will have, you know, that kind of symptoms where I'll throw up for the next 3 days. But I said to the Lord, God, help me. Help me, Lord. And I ask everyone to do the same. Pray to God. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me. Because that's, the Holy Spirit was the one who helped Jesus. You have to understand that Jesus was a man in that wilderness. He's a man and God. And he asked the Holy Spirit to help him. He was there. Amen? Amen. See the power of God? The power of the Lord. It was at the feet of helplessness. Hopelessness. You know, I remember he said in another part of that video, which I actually caught, he said that one time when he got to the prison, he prayed to the Lord. Just out of the blue, he said, God, if you're really true, change my life. And then this happened to him. Amen. Amen. Praise God. God is your hope. And that hope is given to us by the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let's not doubt that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. He is indeed the Son of God. And too many times we can be helpless. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. We can be helpless. We can be out of control. Our lives sometimes is out of control. But we can turn to the one who is fully in control. Amen. We can turn to the one who is fully in control and who is perfectly able to help us in our time of need. The Bible said in Psalm 46 verse 1 that God is our refuge. Amen. God is our refuge. Sometimes we just need to hide. We just need to hide. Sometimes life is too strong for us and we just need to hide. But you know what? The best hiding place is God. God is our refuge and he is our strength. He is a very present help in times of trouble. And as Paul already said in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen. There is a throne of grace for everyone. There is a throne of grace that is just made right for you. Because God is able. God is greater. God is powerful. Amen. We can obtain mercy. We can obtain grace That's where our help comes from. Amen. I like what Catherine Kuhlman said. She said, I believe in miracles because I believe in God. I like that. I think that's so powerful. I believe in miracles because I believe in God. Church, can I tell you today that your life every day is a miracle? My life every day is a miracle. Your life is a miracle. Sometimes we're waiting for, you know, firecrackers and all of this. They say, hey, it's a miracle. Hey, God shows up even in small things in your life. Your life is a miracle. Catherine said, I believe in miracles because I believe in God. I believe God will do miracles in your life and in my life because I believe in every word. Hey church, every word that comes out of God's mouth. That's what I believe. How about you? How about you, church? How about you, my friend? Would you just raise from your feet, stand up, and let's worship the Lord our God. And let's tell Him, Lord, I believe you. I believe you, Lord. I believe you more than I believe myself because everything in myself is from you. God, I live and I move and I have my being in you. Everything about me is from you. And everything that I know is written in the very word of Christ, in the very word of God. And so, Lord, I choose to believe you. I believe that every single day you are going to bring miracles in my life. Every single day I will encounter miracles in my life. Every single day is a day of miracles in my life because I believe in Christ. I believe in Jesus. He fasted for me for 40 days. Amen. He fasted for me in the wilderness. He chose to be alone by himself so he can talk to the Father about the world, which includes me, which includes you. Church, God is good.